Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, welcome to Be Love, Do Good Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Hayes, and today we have the lovely Julie Bevere on. She is a part of Sons and Daughters, and that is a ministry that really helps people understand their identity in Christ. She just wrote a book with her brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws called I Am Transformed. It's a 40-day devotional that goes along with her book, I Am. And really, we talked about a million different things. She's a wife, she's a mother, she helps run this business, and we talked about her recent move and talked about how hard that can be when we can't find community. We talked about living an integrated life. We talked about having our identity in Christ and not in the other titles that many times hold our identity. She was so lovely. We actually got the giggles in the middle of the interview. It was kind of like when your mom is shushing you at church to not laugh and you cannot stop laughing. That's kind of how we were. So we were just two peas in a pod. I loved having her on, and I know that you'll love this interview with Julie Bevere. Hey, Julie, thanks for being on the Be Love, Do Good podcast. We are so happy to have you. And I'd love for you just to kind of tell a little bit about you, your family, where you are, just for those who might not know you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on. So my name is Julie Bevere, and my family lives in Tennessee. We just passed our 1 year mark of living in Tennessee.
How is it?
Transition is tough. It really is. And we had never done anything like this, moving across the country. I moved from Texas when I was 18. I had met my husband, moved. We got married, had all of our babies in Colorado. So that was home. That was home for all of us. The only home we had ever known. So it was tough. We have a 13 and 11-year-old. And that was a factor that I had not prepared for. And I don't know that I could have known how to prepare for transition with children in the midst of such a transitional phase of life is wild. I don't know that there's any other word.
If it makes you feel better, we've moved, I think, six states in the last, we've been married 20 years. And I think this is our 11th home. And so so as you're saying this, I'm kind of giggling because I'm like, yeah, there's just no, I mean, every move I'm like, oh yeah, we'll do it this way. Oh no, we'll do it this way. There's no rhyme or reason of what works in some and then what works on others. So yeah, I get you.
Yeah, it's just been so interesting. And really, I look back on a year and I'm thinking, I cannot believe that's how long it's been because so much has happened. Like internally, it just feels like anytime you go through transition, I think of transitional phase of labor. And I think of that because I was complaining to my mom one day and she said, Julie, you've been through transition in labor. Was it fun?
Awesome.
She's like, was it purposeful? I'm like, yes, it was. And so work gets done in transition phase.
Yes. And are you the type of person that loves change overall? Or are you kind of like, oh, I love my stability? Like if you were on a test, we have a test at work and it's like, do you love stability or do you love change? And I have some staff that are like, give me stability. Please don't ever make me change. How are you? What's your personality like?
It's funny you asked that because I would have said I'm someone who loves change, but then change was served to me on a silver platter. Yeah, and I'm like, what? I've surprised myself with how hard this has been. And I think that even brought about an unexpected challenge was me. It's even hard to put it into words, but me not feeling like me in the midst of it. But I love change and I'm so go with the flow. but the level of disorientation and discomfort and just a lack of control has smacked me in the face. And God's done beautiful things through it, but discomfort for sure.
The lack of, I want to just talk about this a little bit because I have some friends who have moved recently and we kind of have talked about it everywhere. So I love change and we move like every 7 years, and my husband's job kind of did that for a while, and we love it, but then I love everywhere we move. And then we moved here and I was like, get me out of here. And it was the first week COVID hit is when we moved. And so wow. It was just like, I did not love it. And the same kind of feeling like this, I don't feel like me. And then I have some other friends who have moved and they're like, well, wait a second. You love to move. Like, you're so good at it. And I'm like, I actually am not anymore. Like, I don't love it. My kids are, you know, older and they were doing fine, but I didn't feel like me. So I'd love to ask you, I'm kind of coming out on the other, like a little bit on the other side, which felt like it took forever. And so I guess for the listeners who always just think, maybe they see on Instagram or like people move and they're just automatically in community or automatically, this is amazing. For those who might be listening are like, this sucks. Like, tell me a little bit of how you kind of journeyed through the really discomfort. I mean, you're only a year in, so you're still journeying, but what are some things that you did?
I think something that we did really well, and funny enough, so we moved into one home in Nashville in the city. And 6 months later, we moved to Franklin, which is about 45 mm-hmm. minutes south of Nashville. So we've moved twice since we've been here. And that was really surprising because in my mind, I tried to do some kind of a like math equation. Well, we moved across the country and it was this hard. Mm-hmm. So we're only moving 45 minutes. So it's only going to be this hard, but which was not the case. It was like, it just stirred everything up in a way that it resurfaced. And I found myself getting frustrated. Like, I thought we've already done this specifically with my kids when they would just have hard days and they wouldn't understand, why have we moved here to begin with? Why did we leave Colorado? Everything we've ever known. And I'm sitting with them in these places. And like the first couple times, I'm killing it. I am patient and gentle.
You have the script written.
And then it resurfaces the third, fourth, and I'm like, we've done this. Like, we've had the conversation. This is not a convenient time. But what was beautiful is that I felt a mirroring in myself where God was like, no, you need to visit this again. Mm. Like, yes, your children are moving through it, but it became this reminder of, oh, this is for me too. Mm-hmm. We went back to Colorado for the first time in the summer, and my older two wanted to go back to the cul-de-sac we used to live and play with all their friends. And they did. And my son came home that day and he was crying and he said, Mom, I don't belong there anymore. I no longer have a place, but I don't have a place in Tennessee either. So where do I belong?
Aww.
And he's crying and I'm just crying. And I'm like, son, I feel the same way. It felt like an echo of my own soul. And so these became such beautiful moments to really lay before God, like, I don't have a place, and for God to meet me there and be like, but you do.
Yeah.
Like, this is so far beyond where you live or who you're in community with. And those things absolutely matter, but they do take time.
Yeah.
So any impression that people just slip right into a new place and it's home, even if their soul feels a level of like, oh, this is home, there's still so many logistics, like relationships, deep relationships, communal relationships are not built quickly.
Yeah.
They take time. And finding even, you know, the right school, where you're going to grocery shop. It's so many little logistical things that really can add up to feeling overwhelmed. Or you can recognize it's just going to take time. Mm. So you get, I think, leaning into the moments with my kids, which has then led to moments with the Lord, and also just recognizing the patience of it. Mm. Like, we are building a new life.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I brought my family, there's six of us, but then also my husband's parents moved with us. Two of his brothers moved with us. So God has been so gracious that we do have built in people.
Sure.
And we're all in this together. All of them moved from Colorado.
Okay.
So we're each on our own unique journey of what does Tennessee look like for us here and now.
That's so good. I think just hearing you say earlier, like the lack of control that I've been learning. And I was like, I'm not even a controlling person. And as I've been in counseling the last like couple years, she's like, do you still feel like that? I was like, maybe not. But yeah, because I think you don't know until it happens, right? So, you know, the lack of control and then the belonging. Like, I think I've always been a person who's felt like I belong. But then when you come to a place where everyone else has their people, and what I've learned, I just did a podcast on this a couple weeks ago, is we started like a community potluck. And when we first moved here, everyone, the town that I live in is like, you are probably born here, or maybe you went to Baylor and maybe you left, but then you came back and then you've known each other for like years and years and years and years. And so we didn't fit that. And so it was like people would ask us to do things, but you always could kind of tell it was like you were like an add-on. Like you weren't like the one that was always, you know what I mean? And that's what I'm like, I'm always like the one that is the one, not the add-on. And so I remember just asking some neighbors, like, I like all of you. I don't know any of you. And you don't seem to really, like, we don't really hang out with each other. And I just assumed they all had their own people. So I did a group text and was like, once a month at our house, we're going to do a potluck. Here's the theme. If you can come, great. If you can't, if you have other things, great. But if this is a space that you want to meet other people, awesome. I think last potluck we had like 75 people there.
Wow.
I mean, it's been going on for a year now. I don't even know half of them, quite honestly. They're in, like, it just keeps getting shared in our neighborhood. But the first one we had, I think we almost had 30 people and just kids running. And what I've learned is that even though a lot of people look or seem like they feel like they belong or they're in community, many do not. Many, even if they've lived in the same place for 20 years, they still want the invitation. They still want the invite to come and belong to something. And so I just have to remind myself that when I go into spaces like kind of you see yourself in, and you're probably seeing, you know, you're kind of in the burbs now in Franklin. So you probably have seen like the moms who've been friends and done the coffee dates and take their kids to school. And you're kind of like, where do I fit in? You know, to think like, some of those moms feel real lonely too, and they're looking in. So that was just a good reminder to me. So I'm sure you're feeling that a little bit.
I love that. I love that you just made it happen and opened your doors. I think community really can be that simple. Like, just make a space and let God do the rest.
Yeah.
Like, we overcomplicate things. I overcomplicate things when it feels like it has to be just this way, and I have to have a specific level of connection, and my kids have to connect. It's like, you know, like you said, trust. Because it's funny you mentioned your counselor, because typically we do marriage counseling, but the last one, Addison happened to have a meeting. He couldn't move, and I was like, you know what? I could probably use some one-on-one time. So I just did it alone. And so he and I did talk a lot about control, and because same thing, I have been so, I want to just say slapped in the face, but Jesus is so much more gentle than that. Just confronted, lovingly confronted with my control. And I never would have thought of myself that way. Like, I'm not an OCD. Things have to be a certain way at all.
Mm-hmm.
But on a deeper level, I am. I have been. I'm moving through it. And so he talked about this. He called it the control, trust. It was like a triad, and just the combination between control and trust, and how I, and fear, control, trust, and fear. And so I move through that in different things that I'm confronted with. And I'll find that with community where I just really want it to be just so and feel. I'm a deep feeler, so I want it to feel just so. And I just feel this invitation from the Lord, like, you're overcomplicating it. If you say you want these things, just open your hands and let me give them to you, so that you're making a space for that to happen. I think it's so beautiful.
That's good. I think just, we do overcomplicate, or we feel like we have to have it just right before we can ask the thing, or, like back in the day, I think when you turn 40, you kind of just don't care anymore. And so, before it was like, the house has to be a certain way. I mean, I kind of was never like that. My husband probably is more like that. Like, hey, are we going to like maybe pick up before people come over? I'm like, no. I was like, I don't have time for that. I don't have time. Sorry. So I think you just get to a space where it's true. We overcomplicate it. Like, just go get the coffee. Ask. Like, open your door. Do that. I want to ask you, we're kind of like, we haven't even got into your book and all the things, but I think this is even more sometimes rich. And if you're okay with me asking this, when you said marriage counseling, so I think there is this, I don't know, this thing that people just assume that all Christian marriages are great, especially if they're in a public space. You talk about it, you guys have, your own organization that you talk about all the things. And it's been interesting to me. Grant and I also are in marriage counseling for the first time these last couple years. And I mean, I've always wanted to be in it because I'm one of those persons mm-hmm. that just wants my personality is I want to be the best at all the things that I can be the best at. And so why wouldn't you just have a person who helps you, do that? But I think it can get, I don't know, I think there's people who would immediately think, oh my gosh, something's wrong. What's going on? So tell me a little bit about that journey, because I think I want to get rid of this conception that if you're in counseling or if you're going through something that you can't ask for help, or that makes you less yeah. spiritual, or that makes you less faithful, or whatever it is. I'm done with that. And so I'd love for you just to kind of speak into that, if you would, kind of putting you on the spot. Sorry, that wasn't one of the questions that I said over.
No, I love this question, because anytime I mention, like when I'm at coffee or whatever, naturally some wisdom that his name is Chip, that he has shared with me is going to come up. And so frequently I'll say our counselor, and the so much people are like, so what's going on?
Yes, yes.
And I'm like, what do you mean? And it's funny, because about a month ago I was on a trip, and there was a couple on the trip, and she and I went to a really deep place. She was asking me some marriage questions, and I was referencing our counselor, and she was a chiropractor. And then she said, like, so what, like, what do y'all get counseling for? I'm like, you're a chiropractor. What do you think people get adjustments for? Like, if they only come to you when they're injured, is that a good plan? She's like, oh no, they need to be coming regularly for adjustments. That way, if they get injured, we're ready to go. Like, I can jump in. I'm familiar with them. I know exactly what's going on. And the truth is, marriage is long. Like, we are in a long journey together. It is a blessing. It is wonderful. But we know that we cannot do this alone. And so Addison and I really have made it a priority, like a tune-up. Like, you're going to change the oil in your car. It that way, when, for example, when we moved, it was just a storm. Mm-hmm. Like, he was finishing a manuscript, but he also still manages the offices in Colorado. So he's now doing that, from Tennessee. We're homeschooling our four kids for the first time ever. So in the midst of all of the transition, naturally, things were surfacing between Addison and I. And because we had spent probably 2 years prior to this having semi-regular calls with Chip, we were able to get to the bottom of what was happening between us a lot faster, because we weren't, we didn't get to a place of like, man, you and I are just not communicating. I don't want this to get worse. We should find a counselor. It was, hey, let's tackle this in our next conversation with Chip. And it's not even that, I mean, he is brilliant and wise and has been married a long time. But sometimes he says the exact same things that we're already saying to one another.
Sure.
But having it said from a different perspective and in a unique way, he and I are able to hear it so differently. And it has been so helpful. I mean, I have just every single time, it's amazing how we'll go into it not necessarily even knowing what we're going to talk about. Kind of like, we're actually doing well.
And then you come out, you're like, wait.
like, I don't even know what we're going to talk about. And we have been very blessed in our relationship, but every relationship has these narratives that are kind of an underlying narrative that, if left unchecked, can start to deteriorate from within. And they're not even necessarily like negative. I mean, I'll use one of mine, for example. And I know this gets like such a rabbit trail, but just believing it'll be helpful. I was 19 when we got married. Addison was 22 and just really mature. Like, I'm a fifth born and he's a first born. And so he did a lot of the raising when we were first married, and we got pregnant 2 months into our marriage. So then we had a baby. So there was a lot of parenting that he did of me and the child, honestly.
I'm giggling a little bit.
And I was pretty newly saved. Like, we're kind of a missionary dating story, which is wild. And so that was okay while it was okay. But then in later stages of our marriage, some of that,
you're like,
some of that parental relationship between he and I, which at the time it was my husband covering me. You know, he was stepping up in ways that I didn't know how to step up in. He was being a covering. But then there was ways that it started to get just twisted. And thankfully, we had the resources to really be like, hey, we're saying the same thing to each other over and over again. We need another voice to get into the mix. And so it has been so beneficial. I don't think we'll ever stop, honestly, because it is such a gift. It's such a blessing. And yeah, I highly recommend it for everyone and anyone, any kind of marriages. Recently, I was talking to a girl who, she had just had her first child. And she was saying, like, me and my husband have just, we've never had issues. We're both really laid back, low key. But since having the baby, I think it was 5 months ago, I've never felt so like disconnected. And because we've never had issues, I don't exactly know how to, how to go about this. And I'm like, I highly recommend counseling. And they're both pastors. Actually, I said that. I said, do they have any kind of a staff, anything available to you guys? Since you're married, you're both on staff. She's like, looked at me kind of baffled. So you're right that there's a stigma around counseling and with Christians, which is very bizarre if you take a step back and look at the way we are meant to live communally. Like, it is, other people are supposed to be involved.
It is so bizarre. It does. I feel like every church especially should have their own like care, you know, care for them, because it is so hard in leadership. You're managing a million other people. You're being someone that other people think that you should be. I mean, it's like a whole, it's just a firestorm. So yeah, I think that's huge. I joke to my son who's 14. I'm like, well, your guys' marriage gift from us will be a HelloFresh membership and counseling for a year. So
that's an amazing gift.
I mean, how, because I think it, when you first get married, they always say like the first years of marriage are like the most, the hardest. It wasn't for Grant and I. He's 8 years older than me. I was, I'm laughing a little bit when you were like parenting. Sometimes he'll use this voice and I'm like, okay. I'm like, that was like a dad voice to me. Like, I am 43 years old. Like, come on. So we kind of giggle, but I mean, we didn't really have what we thought were issues until like a huge blow up last year, like a bomb just. And so that's what took us there, but we should have been there 18 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, we literally should have been there 18 years ago. I wish I would have had someone that was like, hey, you probably just, this is just good for you to just figure out who you are and, you know, figure out who both of you are. And we're so different. I mean, how do we expect to actually get along the way that we are when we're so different, unless you kind of have someone like leading you, you know, leading you through that. So I appreciate you, you sharing that for sure. Okay, I feel like I want to get into what we're actually supposed to be talking about, which is your book. So you guys, so tell me a little bit about Sons and Daughters, kind of who, what that is, and then your new project, your book, I Am Transformed, which you yourself have kind of gone through it, which I thought was so interesting. I was talking to your publicist and she's like, you know, Julie actually has been going through it. Even though she wrote it with other people, now you're kind of going through what you wrote, which I thought was so cool and interesting. And like, what did you learn from that? So tell us Sons and Daughters, kind of what that is, what that is about. And then tell me a little bit what you've been learning through the book that you wrote and now going through.
Yeah. So Sons and Daughters is a collection. Initially it started as myself and my four brother, and well, my husband and three brother-in-law. And we were doing video blogs and social media stuff. And the heart behind it initially was, man, we have been given so many resources because of who John and Lisa are and being their children, just even exposure to incredible people and the legacy that they really have forged. And so
tell people who John and Lisa are, if they might not know who they are.
Absolutely. So John and Lisa Bevere, who is my husband and his three younger brothers' parents, they started Messenger International over 30 years ago. And so we're looking now at three decades of faithful commitment to truth. They're, you know, I think it's amazing now to see the way that it has stood the test of time and this legacy of just being so obedient and pure. Like, they are the exact same as they are on the stage, in the kitchen, interacting with you at a book table or behind the counter at Starbucks. Like, just rich people who are exactly who God has intended for them to be and walking out their calling in a way that, it's incredible. I feel like I just kind of won the lottery by marrying into it. And so we wanted to share that with the younger generation. We wanted to share just the journey. So we would take turns writing and videoing whatever we were walking through. From there, it just grew. And then we ended up doing an event. Oh, it was 2019, you know, 2020 like marks everything. It was 2019. We did an event where we had about 250 people from all over the world is what ended up happening. Like, we had a girl from France who had never been to America, and she came for this event, and so many different ranges of ages. In our mind, we kind of thought it would be like 16 to 24, but really, it was like 16 to 35, just people who this message of sons and daughters, who you are as a son, who you are as a daughter, connecting with. And then we were approached to do the first book, which was I Am. And then the second one, I Am Transformed, is the Devo kind of continuation. But what's beautiful is that it is its own thing. And the devotion had a special place for me because I love devotionals that are done well. I think it can just take you on an intentional journey. And that is what this has been intended for. You know, I'm never wanting to make anything like formulaic, but there is something about intentionally setting aside 40 days and saying, I am going to do this every single day because I want to dive deep. You know, what you put in will affect what you get out. And so that's where we've been. So the last, we're on day 37 now, actually. So we have released every single day on our Sons and Daughters podcast, the reading for the day. The Christian Audio gave us the ability to release like a portion of each of the days so that people who didn't even have the book or the audiobook could also engage with it. And I've loved going through it because I was a part of writing it, but having it, you know, you experience it so differently when you're not, your job isn't to be looking at it critically, just to experience it. And so I've been looking forward to going through the 40-day journey myself, because the whole premise of the book is, who is God and what does that mean for me? So each of the 40 days is a facet of who God is. And then the Devo goes into, what does that mean for who you are? Because that's where we find our identity, is by first looking at God, not by looking at ourselves. Like, we're meant to be a reflection of the person of God, not a reflection of the world. And I think that's what we're seeing right now, is people who do not start their day by allowing God to tell them who they are and then going out to the world. We just go out to the world. And then at the end of the day, sometimes there's the swirl of like, what was that?
Yeah, right.
And who am I? And what's the purpose? And all of the things, which it can all be used, but why not start with, okay, who are you, God? Meet me here. Set aside the time to meet with God and really just dive in, like learning, praying, reading scripture. So that is what our hope is with this Devo, is for people to get a greater grasp of who God is.
Yeah.
And the way those facets of God are then meant to be a reflection in their very lives.
That's good. When do you think that you kind of like got it? I know it's all a journey, but like got it, that your identity was in Christ and not in something else?
Oh, today?
Tomorrow.
It really is daily. Like I'll feel like I've got it and I'm good for a while. And then I'm like, where is Julie from last week? Mm. God, I don't understand what's happening this week. I want to go back to Julie from last week, but then I'll get it again. Mm-hmm. And I have learned to just be more patient with myself and recognize that it's not backwards. Like if I believe that I'm dealing with the same issue that I've dealt with over and over again, that can feel so frustrating, and then shame can find a place in that. But when you recognize it's never the same, there's a quote that I love, and I quote it a lot, and I'm pretty sure I quote it incorrectly. But it's, no man can step into the same river twice, for he is not the same man and it is not the same river. And I think of that in the context of seasons that can feel like, how am I back here? Mm. How am I dealing with this same issue again?
Yeah.
I thought that we had gotten this. I thought that you had dealt with this, God. I thought that we had seen breakthrough. I thought I had received my miracle. I thought I had received my promise. And yet it's not the same. Mm-hmm. Our limited perception of reality is just that. It's limited.
Yeah.
And it's not the same. Even the way a shepherd will have to lead sheep up a steep hill is around the hill. Mm-hmm. It's not straight up. So you may think, why am I going around and around? And, you know, it's the kindness that God's like, oh, we're moving up.
Yeah.
Like, you may think we're just going around and around, but we're moving up. Mm, trust me with that.
That's a good perspective. I think I feel the same way. I'm like, wait, didn't we already deal with that? Like, didn't we do this like 7 years ago? I mean, it's in my journal. Like, I already dealt with this. Like, I thought I was clear of this, you know? And I think in just knowing yourself, that there will always be that fleshly part of you, whatever it is, that you specifically, you know, deal with and are like, ah, darn, you know, we're back here again. You're right. It is different. It's a different scenario. And probably if you look back, if I were to look back at my journals of that, I've come so far, you know, and it's been a journey, you know, through that. How has, you know, your parenting, you have four kiddos, how has that changed when you found out your identity in Christ isn't who you are and not who your kids are? Thank God for me.
Exactly. It's changed because I'm able to meet them in their weaknesses in a different way. One, trusting God with their weaknesses, with their shortcomings, with my shortcomings in parenting them, which is inevitable. Mm-hmm. And just knowing this story isn't over and this story is not in my hands.
That's good.
Like, we are used in our children's lives powerfully. Like, we have a huge responsibility and stewardship, but ultimately we're not God. Mm-hmm. We're not God to our kids. And continually remembering that makes me a better parent.
Yeah, that's good. It's not, and it tell for me helps take the pressure off, right? That it's not, yeah. That it's not all on you. You do the best that you can with what you were given. You're going to screw up, and you pray that God, you know, has the rest for sure.
Yeah, encourage them towards counseling.
Like, right. Here's your year membership to counseling after you get married.
Like, I'm not going to try to mess up, but I will inevitably mess up. Yeah. Like, reminding your kids that you're human too, specifically in these preteen, teenage stages. You know, I'm not telling my six-year-old, like, listen, I'm human too.
Right.
But my older kids, like, you know, I have a moment, I have a hard moment with them. I'm like, I'm tired. Like, you know, apologizing, coming before them and saying, like, I'm tired. I shouldn't have acted that way. I just need you to get in bed and stay in bed.
Right. And stop talking to me.
Until the morning. I'm not God for them. And I do them no service by allowing them to believe that mom and dad are God. Are we representatives of God? Are we the hands and feet of Jesus in the lives of our children? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, God is God.
Yeah.
To our kids also.
Yeah. How have you helped your kids, this will be my last question, form their identity in Christ? Like, what are some of the things that you've kind of guided them in?
Yeah, a large part is we're just really careful with our words. Like, we believe words matter. So never allowing any kind of labels, you know, their behavior is spoken about as behavior. This is not who you are. This is a choice that you made. And also, you know, really encouraging them in their own relationship with God from very young ages, talking to God and exposing them to scripture, tons and tons. I mean, even things like the Bible Project is an incredible resource for kids. The Chosen, like, these are things that I wish had been available when my mindset and understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, when all of that was being formed. So it's exposure. It's allowing them to see us, you know, making time, being intentional with our quiet time in the morning and worship in the, you know, our kids will want to play whatever music. And I'm like, only worship in the morning, guys.
Yeah.
Like, there's a sensitivity.
Lizzo's for afternoon, but yeah. We're doing Maverick City and before 9.
Exactly. So it's just living openly. Something that my husband Addison and I are so passionate about is living integrated lives where we are who we are with our children on a podcast, in you know, out to dinner with another couple, at church, whatever that may be, that there is an integration to our lives. And so we just invite our kids into that. And it's chaotic sometimes. It's messy a lot of the time, but it is so worth it. I don't know that there is any other way that we were meant to live except integrated.
Yeah, that's good.
So, yeah.
That's good. For people who are listening who are like, ooh, I want to hear more of that, or I want to know more about my identity in Christ, like, I haven't really got that down yet, or I still feel a little frazzled in my identity, what are some places they could go to get some more resources?
Yeah, I highly recommend the I Am Transformed book, obviously, but Messenger also has an app. It's called the Messenger X app. And there are so many resources. Speaking of counseling, actually Chip, who does our monthly Zoom calls with Addison and I, he has two courses on there, Healthy Relationships. And they are so gold, like, very simple, very consistent. Like, he is not a complicated counselor. He's just tells it like it is and stays really consistent with the key things to doing relationships, doing marriage well. So we have some, so many courses on there, and it's free. So, and it's awesome. A wonderful, beautiful app. It's even in like over 100 languages.
Wow.
So the heart behind Messenger is discipleship far and wide.
Sure.
And so that is an amazing, amazing resource on all things identity. So
awesome.
Yeah.
You have been a joy. I've loved having you on. Thank you so much for just your time and what you guys are doing, and good luck in your new space. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to my interview with Julie. She was amazing. Please go get her book, I Am Transformed, a 40-day devotional. I think it's just perfect to have a devotional that you can have every single day. And I love that it's all about our identity in Christ. So if you want to know more about them, head over to our show notes. We have a bunch of websites there. And thanks again for giving us your time and being on this journey to be love and do good in our communities. We'll see you next week.